Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you once again on this blessed Friday night. To some of you in other parts of the world, it is Saturday morning. To others, it's Saturday evening. But no matter what part of the day it is, this is Brother Nate. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. Thank God for all you that are listening in, no matter what nationality, race, or color, or gender you are. Amen. I want to give you this phone number that is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing over the air, just contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we will give unto you. Praise be to God. So for those of you who've been following us, you know that it's Friday night. For those of you who may be first-time listeners, on Friday and Saturdays, Lord say the same, we have what is called heart-to-heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I join them. Amen. Still giving the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ to you, the listener, headed off by my brother named Brother Eddie Lee, whom we are waiting to come on, joined by the sisters in Christ. And we want to extend this invitation to come on this Blog Talk Radio to any born-again believer in Christ. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you are our brother or sister in Christ. So with the invitation is extended to you. You don't have to be, quote, in the same church we are, long as that you are a born-again believer in Christ Jesus. So we extend that invitation unto you. Praise be to God. And as we await for, once again, my brother to come on, I want to thank God once again for all of you that have been listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, as we have been commissioned of the Lord Jesus Christ to give the gospel unto you, the listeners. So therefore, we want to thank God for you all. May the Lord continue to bless you, your family, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And so, once again, you know, we want to give God all the glory and honor and praise. For he's worthy to be praised and be glorified. Now, I want to once again stress to you, believers in Christ who are listening, do your diligence to come closer to the Lord. The time is now. There are some things that are going to hit these three major areas, which is the nation, the home, and the church. And you need to be prepared for it when it comes, because only you standing in the faith and operating in the faith is going to bring you the victory. Okay, you're going to find out there's no other way that you can operate and still come out victorious in the situation. Amen. So I'm once again giving this warning to those of you who are listening. I pray that you really take heed to it and listen. Warning of the Lord to his people, get ready. The warning of the Lord to his people is study to show thyself approved. This thing has to be, first of all, a personal walk. You know, you can't be looking around, see if everybody else is doing before you do. That's not going to work. And that's what's happening to some in the church. They won't do in the Lord like the Lord said, because they're looking around, seeing if everybody else is doing it. So if everybody else ain't doing it, they don't lift a finger to do it. But if they see that everybody else is doing it, that's when they're doing it. No, it can't work like that. And it don't work like that. This walk in Christ, you have to visualize it first as being a personal walk. If you don't visualize it that way, then you're going to be a person that's easy to sway. Because if you're just looking for to see if everybody else is doing it, to do it, then, you know, when the time comes that you see everybody's not, then you won't. And once again, even on the day of judgment, we're going to be judged individually, okay, by the Lord. He's going to deal with us one-on-one about your calling, what you did while you're here on earth, why you did what you did, why you didn't do what you was commanded, all of that. If there's no one else called with you at that time, at the time of judgment, it's you and the Lord. And you can't just go to point fingers and stuff like that. You know, many times I think about that. I mean, I said to myself, on judgment day, I mean, when the Lord, you know, issued out and said, why you do this when you shouldn't did and all that, I was thinking to myself, what are we going to say? What kind of excuse can we make up? I mean, the Word of God tells us that's what we're going to be judged by, His Word. See, we're studying and reading and learning what we're going to be judged by. In other words, God is not going to come up with something else to judge us by. He's going to come with the same Word that you're supposed to be studying, that you're supposed to be meditating on, that you're supposed to be walking in. That same Word is what He's going to judge you by. So, you know, that's another thing. You know, you're getting up front from God, according to John 12, you're getting up front from the Lord Jesus what He's going to judge you by. So you ain't left to guess like, oh, I wonder what God is going to judge me by. You know, what are you going to use? He's going to use that very Word, once again, that you've been supposed to be studying, supposed to be meditating on, supposed to be walking in. He's going to use that same Word, my God. So you're looking at your judgment when you read and study it, okay? And so, therefore, we don't want to, you know, we want to get the understanding of this. So I want to say to you, pastors, please stress to the people about this, that first of all, they got to visualize this walk with God as personal. That got to happen because, once again, if you're looking to other people, and that's what's wrong with some people too, they're looking to other people, and when they see someone who they, let's say, greatly respected, not rising and doing, then they think, well, I don't need to rise and do. If they ain't doing it, I might as well not do it. But no, that's not the way to go. Because, see, the number one person we're supposed to follow is Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. God, Christ gives us leaders and things that teaches us the Word. Yeah, but they're not to be our ultimate followers. We ought to be followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I just want to stress that to you who are listening, okay? Maybe there was something that God told you to do. And don't get me wrong, when God tells you to do something, He wants you to go by the order way of doing it. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you, any of you, to hear this message and think, oh, God told me to do this, and you just get wild with it. I'm not telling you to get wild. But there may be some things that some of you that God told you to do, but you haven't done it because you're looking around seeing if anybody else is going to do it. Okay? And see, now this causes you to be in disobedience. Because we have a all common general call in the Lord. And then we have individual callings. Okay? God, you know, in the individual calling, God may call you to do something particular that He hasn't called me to do in particular. Or He may call me to do something particular that He has not told you. Okay? So we have individual calls. The common call is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have the individual call. So let's keep that in mind, you know, as we go forth on this journey in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's keep that definitely in mind. And so I am humbled to once again have this opportunity given to me and to all others by the Lord to give out the gospel, because some of you who don't see that as important, you're going to find out later on how important this is. Because once again, you're looking at America as, oh, this is the freest nation on earth and blah, blah, blah. Okay, we have advantage in many things, but what you're missing is because of these laws that are being passed and things that are being done, you're seeing, you know, and maybe you ain't seen it yet, but God's going to open your eyes. America is slowly turning even more towards the way of wickedness. She's turning more towards even more rejecting of Christ. Because she's already rejecting some of the things of the Lord. She's going to reject more. And what you're going to see is that the true saints, the faithful, is going to be the ones in this nation persecuted. Amen? They're going to be the ones in this nation persecuted. Because of the simple fact, they're going to stand up and say, you know, that's not the standard of the Lord. And see, you look nowadays in the church today, ain't too many people liking people standing up and say, hey, that's not the Lord's way. Ain't too many people liking that. Because, you know, they want to go for what they feel is good. What they feel is right. And here you are standing up talking about when that's not the way of the Lord. So now they're upset with you. Can you handle that? Can you handle that when you're speaking the truth of the Lord and the family members turn on you, calling you crazy and talk about you, stand away from you like you a disease? Whenever you come around, they always spread it. Then I always hide and stuff from you, whispering to one another whenever you're around. Can you deal with that? Now, some of you will be quick to say, oh, there ain't no problem. Well, I hope that you are sincere in your answer. Because I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you have encountered a little something, but the heat is going to turn up more. Okay? And you're going to see family members doing things toward you that you never thought. Now, I'm not trying to speak a curse. I'm getting you ready. Because some of you don't believe that could be, that could happen. Some of you think that you're close with your cousin, y'all going to remain close. Not necessarily so. Because the more that you have that desire and you put action to that desire, the things of God, and they don't, the more of the wedge is going to grow between the both of you. You understand what I'm saying? And see, the decision going to come down to whether you want to continue with the Lord or you want to please that close cousin you got. Now, if you want to please that close cousin you got, then that would mean you would have to compromise the word of truth. Okay? That's what that means. You would have to compromise the word of truth. And if you do that, you know, what do you have? What's going to protect you? What's going to keep you? What's going to bring you through the troubles times that is yet to come? What's going to do it? I mean, the word of your cousin is not going to do it. The comfort of your cousin is not going to do it. What's going to do it? Okay? These are questions that you have to think about on a personal level. Once again, remember, like as I said to you before, you have to visualize this walk with Christ first as being personal. If you don't do that, you're going to have serious trouble. Trouble especially within yourself, because if you don't visualize this thing as personal, wow, I mean, it's going to be trouble to a point where you're subject to turn loose of God, okay? It has to be personal. And this is why many of you hear me stressing on having a relationship with Christ, reading the Word, studying the Word, all of that, okay? Spending time with Him, getting to know Him for yourself personally. Because God had already set up a balance between home and church that you ought to get the study of the Word both places. He did not tell you that all your studying, all your reading, all your praise and worship is to be done at the church building. He didn't say that. He didn't say that's the only place you need to study. He did not say that. But he does make it one of the places. Amen? So praise be to God. And he is worthy, people, to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified. Amen. And once again, I want to stress to you all about growing in the faith in Christ, because you know, I look at some things today, for example, with the medical field. And as I said to y'all before, I'm going to say it again. Some of y'all are finding out that certain insurances you had that used to cover certain medicines, now you're getting letters saying, we don't cover that medicine no more. And certain medicines you being prescribed, insurance not covering, it is called bukus or hundreds of dollars. Okay? And then now, you know, one of the things that your insurance has got to watch out for, Medicaid and all that, now some of your doctors and hospitals are doing some undermining stuff to get more money. They are charging for services that they have not done to you, amen, just to get that money, okay? So now all this stuff going on, and now it's causing certain, you know, insurance companies to be cautious, and then now you're suffering because they say, hey, we don't cover such and such a thing no more. And one of the reasons why they've been and done it because they got so much undermined dirtiness from some of these doctors, and I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, we had, I think, one lady here in Mississippi was caught one time for medical fraud. I forgot how many thousands of dollars she got out of medical fraud. And so, therefore, you know, you all this going on, and then what they're doing to you. I mean, you know, sometimes your insurance covers so much, the rest of it you got to pay out of pocket. Well, when the doctor office or the clinic or all that is coming up with, oh, you owe this and you owe that, and now you're looking all funny and thunderbolts in the middle of your forehead because you're getting upset about, hey, I paid everything. So now you got to watch for that. And I'm telling you right now, during this time, you need to concentrate on growing in the faith in Christ, okay? You need to concentrate on that. Can Christ overall deliver and heal me completely? Sure he can. I tell anyone that. You know, some people don't want to say, well, don't tell them that. They may get off their medicine. But this is what I want to say unto you. I'm not pushing you to just jump off your medicine now. But I say get in the faith. You get in the faith, God will overall heal you completely. To tell you the truth, you won't need the medicine no more. Now, I'm going to be straight up honest with that, okay? I'm going to be straight up honest with that. And see, some people, they don't want you to, let me put it this way. Some people in the church don't want you to say that to people. They don't want you to bring that up, okay? Now, you might steer them wrong. Now, I'm going to tell them the whole truth. Now, like I said, starting off, I didn't tell everybody, okay, you got to just go jump, get off of it. No, I'm saying during this time, even while you're taking that medicine, you build yourself in the faith in Christ and watch what happens. Watch what happens. Amen? Glory to God. Watch what happens. Thank you, Jesus. Because I'm telling you right now, people, I'm telling you that these things in the medical field, I know these, you know, presidents and stuff be talking about, well, I'm going to do something with the pharmacists and stuff like that and what they're doing. I know they're going to try to do the best they can. Even Trump had talked about it. But you're only going to be able to go so far, okay? Because they know that, quote, people need the medicine, okay? And, you know, you're only going to be able to go so far with it. So you're going to have to really know Jesus, amen? And see, we've come to understand, see, God even made the herbs. God made some herbs for this body, okay? We just have to find out about it, some natural herbs, okay? That's a few I know, and there are some that, you know, who know more than I do. So, you know, if you come across a good nutritional herbalist, you know, especially if one is a Christian, okay, you know, do your due diligence in talking to them, okay? Because I'm telling you, you know, you need to get ready because, like I said, I just look at a situation I was involved in, say, for the past, like, since yesterday, and I look at the medical field. I look at what they try to do. You know, some clinics that are in what you call real poor areas, I'm going to be honest with you, some of them just do whatever to you. Now, once again, I'm not here trying to just cast ugliness on all the medical field because there are some doctors in there who are truly sincere and try to help people. But, however, there are others who, you know, they don't treat you with the upgrade importance because some of them feel that they are in a low income or a poverty zone area. We just give them so much and worry about them being okay. We'll give them so much. And that's their mentality. And even some of the, quote, best doctors don't come to the place. They don't come to the low income, high poverty area like that, okay? They don't come. And so I'm looking at this thing, and I was thinking about it today, you know, and I'm looking at how this thing going, and I'm like, Lord, I said, man, this thing here is, I see what it's heading, especially for us as the Christian, you know. And that's why I encourage every believer, if you have a sickness or something going on in your life, listen, do your due diligence to get more in the faith with Christ. Can Christ overall heal? Yes, he can. The scripture supports it, okay? I'm not going to hold back on that part because I'm being afraid that people might run and go jump off their medicine. Once again, I have already stressed to it. I'm not telling you, boom, blam, right now, go run off. No, building the faith. There have been people who have been on medicine and don't take it no more because they build their faith in Christ. So we need to also talk about that instead of being the hush-hush all the time. Let's talk about people who was on medicine, who was taking medicine, have been taking it for years. Build their faith in Christ, and what happened? Don't have to take the medicine no more, okay? Amen. Now, many of your sicknesses or diseases you have, you ask most of your doctors, they're going to give you a medical field answer. A lot of them just say, you know, most of them say there is no cure. And if you're taking certain medicine, let us say like high blood pressure pills, most of them would tell you, say, hey, you'll be on it for the rest of your life. And there's a few of them that say, hey, well, I believe you can get off of it if you lose weight, do such, such thing. Now, there's a few of them that do that. But most of them, they're going to be like, you're going to be on this for the rest of your life, blah, blah, blah. Because why? They look at your parents and say your parents, your grandparents had it, you're going to have it, and they're selling it. But that's not necessary. So God did not say in the scriptures because of the third or fourth generation in your family line had it that you have to have it and that's settled. No. That's a generational curse. And God said those curses can be broken. In fact, it is not the will of God for a curse to rule any of our lives. You understand that? That's not the will of God, okay? So God did not say in the scripture, say once you get this sickness or disease from mama, daddy had it, and granddaddy, grandmama had it, that's settled, that's it. No. That's not scripture, okay? Amen. That's not scripture. So, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Because all glory and honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All praise and glory and honor goes to him. Amen. God wants to heal today. Okay? Heed of us. I said to Holy Ghost, he wants to heal today. Okay? Can you muster up the faith? Hallelujah. God will heal you today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know God's in the healing business. He has healed before. He's healing now, and he's going to heal in the future. All three tenses. Glory to God. But I'm telling you people, and I pray that you hear me, build your faith in Christ because I'm looking at how the insurances are going, the health insurance and all that. You know, we had some guys here on the job, and they finally retired. And, you know, coming to, you know, working for Social Security up to age of 65. And they was, I know one of them especially worked over. One of them, he didn't, but he got some kind of like Medicaid. But the question was asked the one that was working over his age limit, as well as some others who are still there. They said, why don't you go and retire? And their number one answer of why they hadn't retired yet, because we have got a guy that I'm working with, he's at least a year or two from 70 years old. And you said, well, how come you won't just go and retire? For years, the number one thing that I heard them say was no health insurance. So some of them got wives, okay? And they had no health insurance. And when they do go find some health insurance, it's so sky high, it's pitiful. So that's why the health insurance like we have on the job is better. But see, you know, once you ain't working no more, I mean, this is you on your own, okay? No help from the company. That's why, you know, the positive side of the company I work for past, especially a few years, has been very good. Their insurance, the help out on insurance has been very good. And I appreciate them for that. But once you retire or get fired or quit and you going out for that health insurance for yourself, woo-wee. You know, I heard some quotes, man. I said, man, some quotes was like much as a used car note. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just being straight with you, okay? And that's why, you know, the things that some of these people who is at the age of retiring, they study working longer. Why? Because, you know, like I said, and I'm not saying that's the number one reason for every last one of them, but for some of them I have come across, they say, hey, no health insurance. Ain't no health insurance out there. And your next question would be like, man, well, how long you think you're going to work? Some of them try to work to, I don't know, work to, you know, they said let certain kids come through school. And I guess they will work till they just can't too much work anymore, you know. But, you know, and eventually they're going to have to, you know, retire. So, once again, I'm trying to stress to you, all of you that are listening, the importance of building your faith in Christ right now. Start now, you know. Start building your faith right now in Christ. Spend that time with God each day in the word, meditation, and prayer. Do that, okay? Do that. Because you want to develop that passionate attachment to Christ now. Because you want to start on it now. And once again, I didn't tell all of you that's on some medicine, oh, just throw that stuff in the garbage can, take off and get off your medicine. I didn't say that. But this is what I do say, that if you work your faith to a point where it's come stronger, fulfilling the Lord, I guarantee you that many, if not all of you, if all of you were to believe, you'll come off that medicine. I'm telling you what I know. Amen? I'm telling you what I know. So, very important that you build your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise be to God. So, as we still await on my brother, I know that normally he's on by this time, so that means something had to come up that he ain't on right now, but praise God, that's okay. I mean, because that's why we tag team on this on this broadcast, you know. Just in case, you know, something come up with my brother, I could just go ahead on with it. And I thank God for it because it is very humbling to know that God has opened this door, or this door of opportunity. Amen. Praise be to God. And I want to say also as we continue to wait till my brother come on, you know, you hear the common thing that some people say is that we all are children of God, okay? And, you know, I've talked to people who have made that comment, and I said, well, let me get some clarification out of what you said. I said, when you said we all are children of God, who are the we that you're talking about? Are you talking about those that are saved? Are you talking about everybody here on earth? Who are you talking about? Most of the time that I've talked to people, most of them, their answer is everybody here on earth. And that's why I had to tell them that you're wrong. And so the next thing they would say is that, well, you know what? Well, God has created us all. I said, I agree. I said, but just because he's the creator doesn't mean he's the father of all. That's why he used the term, you must be born again, okay? So everybody here on earth is not a child of God. And see, it's a very misleading statement because you will have even sinners thinking, well, I don't need to receive Christ as Lord. I'm already his child. And you already got Jehovah's Witnesses talking about, well, what loving father would send his child to hell? Well, Jesus is not, quote, sending his children to hell anyhow. If anybody was his children, they fall from grace and they go to hell. And no more being a child, they're going to be, they go in themselves. Amen? By their choosing. Hallelujah. So, the Bible says in John chapter 8, when Jesus was talking to the Jews, and Jesus was talking about how, you know, told the Jews, say, hey, y'all seek to kill me because the word don't have any place in you. Okay? And he said, I speak that, you know, which I've seen with my father. And then he said, you do that which you've seen with your father. Now, when Jesus made a statement like that, you know, people should have, and everybody don't catch it, but many should have caught that statement and said, okay, wait a minute. Jesus said he speak that which you've seen of his father, but you do that which you've seen of your father. So if you read that alone, that should tell you that Jesus is talking about two different fathers. Okay? And so the Bible said they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now the first cop out they try to do is throw up Abraham. Because Abraham being known as a man of faith in Christ, you know. And just like, you know, some sinners, because they see that grandma and granddad or somebody in the family say, they say, well, I'm the relative of so and so. And thinking that because of that, they get an automatic pass. I'm here to tell you, all of you, any of you that's listening, and you got loved ones that are truly born again and saved, but you yourself haven't received Christ. I don't want you to think, because if you're thinking this, then Satan is fooling you big time. I don't want you to think because grandma was saved, or granddaddy, or your mama, your daddy, or uncles and aunties, or something like that would say, that because you are in biologically in the family line, that you automatically going to be saved. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Only way that you be saved, that you have to be born again. Amen? Now, let me pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom, shalom. Yeshua is Lord.
Amen. Thank God for another blessed day in the Lord. And this hour and a half broadcast, I know I have to be somewhere when this hour and a half is up. So we still thank God for this opportunity that he has given us today. Good to hear from you today, brother. Thank God for you today, and appreciate your work in the Lord. And, you know, may God continue to bless you as he's done, you know, and continue to take you high in the Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, it's been a blessed day, Lord, brother, in the name of Jesus. It's been a blessed day. Thank God for it.
Amen. Amen. I was, I know what they're going to get on. I was a little late coming from prayer. And, but anyway, it's Handmaiden night, so whether I'm or not, one of the handmaids, you know, is supposed to help carry load since it's their night and their time. And then,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God bless. You there, brother?
Okay,
I hear you now. At first, it sounded like it went out. Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to charge his phone here. I was on my way, got back. And
okay.
So I had this phone when it went down. So it's, but anyway, I think that the sister had been taken back to the hospital. So they wanted to continue to lift her up, Sister Sally.
Right, yeah. Brother Manny posted it. Brother Manny posted it. It was yesterday or the day before yesterday, one of them.
Yeah.
He posted
right.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're holding fast our faith in her behalf and believing the Lord for the complete victory and triumph. Sometimes we have to fight the good fight of faith and be diligent and fight diligently. Learning how to wage war and fight and hold fast is something we all will be learning through difficulties that come against us. But we're still holding fast for Sister Sally Bruce on behalf of her fight against the infirmity and waste. We're standing fast on the promise of God.
Right.
Sister Allison, she must be hoping that by this time that one of the sisters will take hold and become more or less, you know, on Handmaiden Nights, hoping that that they would speak, you know, come to the place to speak to the women around the world and to minister the grace and love and hope to them that is in every nation. And it's not so much my night, but I'm just, my guideline was to let Handmaiden, the women, minister grace to other people around the world. And because women understand women's and their difficulties and their issues more so than a man. So,
yeah.
But anyway, the Lord appreciate those that can and has so far been a help. And but I'm hoping that Amy Semper McPherson will show up. And I know we all have needs, and God will fulfill those needs and in every endeavor to minister to people in their special needs around the world. The Handmaids tonight, and my heart of compassion goes all to the Handmaids who are going through great difficult times in the nations of the world. And so we're going to have to commit ourselves to more fasting and prayer and travailing to prevail against the adversary. I was thinking, since the heart-to-heart and face-to-face and Handmaiden Night, that me and Brother Robert have our prayer for the community on today. We pray on Friday about the community and about our
right.
city, and then about the government, about the nation.
Right.
So our heart goes out to the special of the great grief and sorrows that hitting the nations, especially women and children, even though God promised these things will come to pass, but He's not a God without compassion, even though He's bringing judgment to justice to try to awaken the nations of the earth. We are reaching out our hearts to the mothers and the in the parts of the earth. In America, we are blessed today, and we're grateful for all the multiplied blessings that we enjoy. And as a nation, as a people, and as especially as believers in Christ and the covenant believers of Christ. Sometimes I think, what would happen? And I know there are many saints in America who are helping and reaching out to many people across the world, and even going there in person, the women, medical teams, and other teams who are ministering to special needs in the nation as servants of Jesus Christ. And those, some are just philanthropic, humane groups who are just going there, hearing the cries of the sick and the diseased, the oppressed, and the hungry. And so I want to salute all those different groups, world food group and different church groups who are going there and ministering to the physical and spiritual and emotional needs of those in these nations. Within our hemisphere, there is a nation called Haiti that's within our hemisphere, America, and that's suffering a lot. The children, just beyond a lot of time what we understand. Can you hear me, brother?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
This phone is down a bit, so I keep asking you because it's not charged
okay.
up or not.
Okay.
So,
you got low bars on it.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, if you go out for this broadcast over, like I said, we already know what we need to do. That's why when you came on now,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we and you have to know because you know, we don't need to freeze up because one may have difficulty or come on later.
Right.
We need
right.
to know how to carry
right.
on, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's what needs to happen. So that's why I went worrying. When I saw the amount of time went up, I knew something was up because you normally not like that. So I kept on with what I was going with. So that really
yes,
was no
appreciate
no
that. Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, that's the filling the gap. You know, we have to learn to initiate, create leadership people that were just going to fill the gap. It's not dependent on one person or that person, but that everyone that's a part of the body of Christ can learn to step in the gap and carry on the work of the Lord. So because the Lord, the work does not depend just on one person or one this and one that. It's a multiplicity person that stands on the sideline and well able to fulfill the gap and carry on the work of the Lord. And thank God for you, brother, carrying on every front and bearing the brunt. I appreciate that. And you multiplicity of giving and helping and blessing. I'm sure in time you will see great fruit from that. So, you know, there are other people that could help, but I guess they don't feel to help. But that's okay. God has a ram in the bush. I know
Amen.
He will supply. I know
Amen.
He will supply. And even in your work and in ministry, He will supply. He will supply. I'm sure He's going to reply. And I believe that soon we'll have a Mother Christine Clark broadcast, like she carried on that broadcast by herself, basically, for quite a few years. And I have to give special honor to her that she had the courage and the love and commitment to get on that broadcast every Sunday morning. And that takes courage, you know, and it takes
right.
Love, it takes commitment. And she had to pay the bill of the broadcast mostly out of her own pocket. And that
right.
takes another commitment, a great love. So in this broadcast, you know, Emmanuel was blessed to start it, and you helped carry it on and keep carrying it on. So God always has a ram in the bush, always.
Amen.
So, you know what I was thinking? As we go, and we were praying, Brother Robin and I, and I opened to a scripture as we were in our prayer, and inside of my innermost belly, I felt there was a rebirthing coming, a rebirthing. And I felt a word coming for America that is coming, a rebirthing. And how it's going to be done? He says, through the intercessors, through the strong and mighty intercessors of prayer and fasting and interceding, he says, that is the only hope of a rebirthing and deliverance of America. And he said, you know, I felt a word of the rebirthing. It would be like unto Joshua, who carried forth from Moses and rebirthing a nation anew in the promised land. So there's coming a rebirthing, and the remnant of intercessors, committed prayer intercessors of God in Christ, are holding the arm of deliverance, and the army of the Lord has become engaged in a war, as well as a petitioning to God to bring a restoration revival and hold back the destruction of our nation. I believe the power of the intercessor, the Holy Ghost intercessor, is doing tremendous mercy in the work of God to ask God compellingly to bring a what we call a spiritual awakening. And there's coming a rebirthing, and a rebirthing. And I was reminded this evening that like Joshua, It's going to be a rebirthing in the Church of Christ, Elijah Methodist, coming a rebirthing like a Joshua. And also in America, going through its greatest trial and difficulty and crisis now, there is a few people who are standing in the gap, crying and travailing for a rebirthing of America. And I'm not talking about what you hear from the natural side, America will be great again. I'm talking about the real thing that America needs, the rebirthing of our spiritual inheritance and returning to the living God. This is the thing that the Lord young for them to turn their hearts back to him. The natural side, our president, he's talking about, you know, the natural side, America will be great again. I understand that what he's talking about. That's not going to be the real answer, though, to America's greatest need. Corporately as a nation, we have turned our way away from the faith of our fathers. And so we need to turn to the faith of our fathers in the scriptures that we might be delivered. I believe there's a rebirthing coming, being stirred up and rebirthing coming forth. I feel it's coming through the Church of Christ, Elijah Message. There's coming I keep reading this, just Joshua generation about to take hold, to take this work forward, and our nation as well. And hallelujah, you can hear the cries of the intercessors around the earth for this nation, America. You can hear the travail, them standing and wailing before God and holding back the powers of destruction, and also beating back the powers of demons and devils. I'm going to read this scripture here. If you got Bible that came to me in Isaiah chapter 27 at verse 1. Hallelujah. There is a new day coming, brother. There is a new day about to be birthed, a new and a better way.
Hallelujah.
I mean, it's on the brink. It's about the brink at the almost like the darkest hour we're coming into, but there's a rebirthing. There's a birthing of the holy sanctuary of God, the things of the living God. Jesus is about to break forth. The Holy Ghost is about to birth a new and a people that's going to bring forth the kingdom with power and might. You want to read something in the Isaiah 27 and 1 that's very significant. Isaiah 27 and verse 1.
Isaiah chapter 27 verse 1 said, in that day the Lord with his sword and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan the piercing serpent, even Leviathan that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea.
You want to read that again? I think everyone needs to pay attention to this particular, might call it a rhema, what is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, that it really, really vivid and speaks to our day that we're living in now. Read that verse again. Prophetic utterance by Isaiah the prophet.
The word of God said, in that day the Lord with his sword and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea.
Wow. And as we were in prayer, this came inside of me. Hallelujah. And we looked at it, and we released that prayer, and I think, and really think there is a lot more that the Lord is going to bring. You know, what do you think about that scripture, that verse? Are you having thoughts of inspiration or anything coming forth?
Amen. It's very inspirational, very encouraging to hear what the Lord is going to do concerning the enemy. Very encouraging, especially to those who, you know, sometimes, you know, you hear the expression, it seemed like it's boom after boom, you know, trial after trial. And you know, and sometimes we all get a little weary on the journey. I mean, I don't know no Christian anywhere that hadn't got somewhat a little weary on the journey. And then God throws a word of refreshing, a word of encouragement, and he speaks this that you gave in this verse here to encourage, you know, because, brother, I told him on a broadcast back here a few days ago, brother, there are actually some Christians that think God is not doing nothing. I mean, they look at what all's going on, the stuff that's hidden, seem like everything bad here and there, and they actually think God is not moving. And this is why God has us to tell them about the work he's doing through the sending of the Elijah, because they actually think, you know, God is not doing anything, you know.
Yeah. Yes, because they are not, you know, the problem by we're looking at the things that are happening, they're not looking beyond that. And the only way you can see, you have to be walking in the Spirit of God. You have to be living in the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit of God to discern what the Lord is doing in the spiritual realm. Because we look in the natural, we are natural people, so we see the natural things that are happening. We don't see the working of the Lord in the spirit realm. And so we get very distressful because we only see natural. When we only see natural, we look into a natural mind, our own minds and thoughts. We don't see what is actually happening in the spiritual realm. I was thinking about Job when the sons of God, the angels of God, was presenting themselves before the Most High God, and Satan, he appeared and came among them. And he was, the Most High God says to Satan, well, Satan, in other words, what are you doing here? What are you up to? And what do you want? And he said, I've been walking up and down in the earth. And I said, walking up and down in the earth. And what he's doing is seeing what he can do to destroy and hinder. And that's his nature, to kill, steal, and destroy. So he's walking up. He's telling the Most High God, said, I've been walking up and down in the earth. So the Most High knew what he was getting at. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Yep, I've been checking him out. I've been checking it out for quite a while. So here's the thing. Let's get our eyes upon the Lamb of God and what he's doing instead of what just Satan is wanting us to see and what he's letting us see in the natural. Now, in that verse that Isaiah prophesied in, it has a duality to it. He says, I want to read that again because that has a particular particular thing that Isaiah is saying that will happen in our particular day. The scripture has duality speaking about something that was taking place in a day, but it's mostly pointing to our time. Leviathan, even though he's using a natural analysis about is probably talking about a great whale that rules the sea, but actually talking about a spiritual event in the spiritual realm. And Leviathan in the spiritual symbolic realm is talking about a strong principality, a demon, a strong prince in the spiritual of the demonic area, Leviathan. And he is represented here in this prophetic sense as Leviathan is spoken of as the sea, using the sea as this a whale that is a strong one in the sea that no one can hardly overcome. Now, Leviathan in the spiritual realm is talking about a prince, demon, and what he will be doing. And he's be working But something is going to happen in the event to stop this prince of evil. He is known as the prince of pride and sexual immorality. That's his stronghold. And so we see his works in America in those two areas, not only in America, but in many other cases. He's called Leviathan, the strong man, or the prince. Now, in the angels, the Elijah message, I don't think many people have really understood it quite well, what the Lord was speaking and getting to when he said in message 88, the angel brought a message to the church as well as other people. He says, Satan will do all he can. Now, he has certain principalities and powers that's under him that's working over nations and working against nations, particularly America and the church world. This spirit is working against America and its government and is working in the mightily in the entertainment world, as well as trying to pervert our education system to believe these evil, immorality, and perverted things. And he's using pride in America to help bring America down because she's so stuck up in pride and arrogance, don't think that she can fall, just like Israel didn't think that she could come to North. America's think by her military might and all this, and that they can continue to sin to high heaven, just like Sodom and Gomorrah did. They think they could just sin and do iniquity to high heaven without any consequence. So America is coming, coming to a full stream to find out that her turning her back on God and going to just curse a Leviathan, and his stronghold is pride, and all kind of pride. He's the king of pride, and he's also the king of sex, a perversion, and immorality. And this stronghold is working in America, in our government, our education system, perverting our teachings about morality and in unrighteousness and all of this, and pride, and arrogant America, pride about this, pride about race, pride about superiority, pride to think we can't come down, pray we the greatest, just like Israel did. And this strong man is the one that's behind that Leviathan. All of the, you see the stirring up of neo-Nazism and communism and Ku Klux Klans and more racist stuff you're seeing now going into schools and racist events are stirred up. He's the one that behind that. And also he's behind all this perversion, immorality, transsexual, homosexual, perversion. He's behind all this evil, bestiality, immorality, impurity, unrighteousness, abomination. All of this stuff is this Leviathan, this demon, this prince, is what is working as part of Satan's scheme to destroy from within. Okay, I thought I'll add that to that.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
you bet.
And so we have a word from the Lord God in the day of Isaiah, who's seeing this coming to pass, especially in God's top nation in the end time, which is America. America is the top nation in the end time in God's planning. Second part is the restoration of Jerusalem and Israel, the Jews, but they're not the most important part. The most important part is the play that America is going to play as the Christian nation.
Yeah.
I know a lot
yeah.
of people turn their eyes on the natural Jerusalem as being the center of all prophecy. She's really a centerfold, but right along her is America, Zion, who play an important role of deliverance of the world because of a gospel standard as a Christian bearing the signet of Christ, who has the gospel that can redeem both Jew and Gentile. So the Jews don't have the gospel, so they can't save the world. The natural Jews are God's chosen people, but they can't save the world because they don't accept Jesus as the Messiah, so they don't have the saving power. And so we have to keep that in mind, even though they're God's chosen natural Jews, they don't have redemption, salvation, because they can't deliver the world. It has to be through the gospel. And so America is the chief nation, the gospel of Christ, the power of God. That's why Elijah, the messenger, is coming to America because and bringing the word to a person in America, and been bringing the gospel to Zion, to America, because America has the call to take the gospel primarily to the ends of the earth and to all people, both Jew and Gentile. So America is the chief nation in God's plan. I know the prophet experts, they'll go mad when I say that, get all upset. But we understand a little better the role that this nation, that Isaiah, Michael, that Psalms and David and Genesis all spoke about this nation in end time America. And how and Malachi says, behold, I'll send my messenger. Where is this messenger coming? Who is he coming to? Now, send Elijah. Who is Elijah? He's coming to God's top nation, Christian nation. He's bringing a word to a scribe in America, USA, to bring a deliverance, not only to the natural Jews who are going to Jerusalem, but to the spiritual Jews who have the authority and dominion to take the gospel to help the spiritual Jews find their Messiah and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So, let's see. Leviathan, the strong man, a prince. He's a prince, what they call principalities and powers. He's in the prince status. He's the strongest of the mightier demons, one of the great, what we call princes in Satan's hierarchy. Okay? In other words, he's like, in the Catholic Church, they have what they call the Pope, and then they have the Cardinal. And so the principality, he's like a next one of the strongest and mighty princes under Satan in his program. So now let's look at this. Isaiah sees events from the birth of Christ always to the second coming of Christ. So Isaiah prophesies and speaks to the first coming of Christ down to the second coming of Christ, when the millennium in Christ shall return. And he speaks about the role of this particular power prince named Leviathan. Now, Satan has a lot of princes. He has a prince over nations, over regions, and over territories and countries. Now, Leviathan, the strong man, the prince. We understand in our nation, in the Western Hemisphere, we see more emphasis on sex and provocative of evil than you ever seen in the history, right?
Right.
And you see, there's some more confusion about sex and perversion and immorality and lack of purity and righteous standard now in America is gone berserk. Everything you see advertised on the TV is reverting to sexual provocative and lewdness, right?
Right.
Well, if you don't think that's so, just look at everything on TV, every model, every ad mostly using sex and women and perversion and this lewd and naked and entertainment. All of the entertainers are pointing you to the body, the lewdness of body. So when you look on the TV, you see something sexually trying to grasp you and pull you to get this and do this. All the models, the entertainment, they're getting more naked, more perverted in their work. And then every other, since we come into this last generation, we see more of the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah that you have not seen in the world. You've seen the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah taking hold through the Leviathan.
Right.
Well, and you see more racial hatred being stirred up, right?
Right.
See, all this is under this prince called Leviathan. You've seen more fighting and bickering about class and race and pride about this and pride about this and superiority and division and dissensions between classes, government, races, and community. Now, all this is Leviathan. Now, Satan is openly selling drugs in American cities without any reprisal. Satan is now legalizing drugs, and everybody getting not everybody, most people are jumping on board about openly selling our kids drugs and getting them hooked and all of this. And now people, there's not emphasis on marriage and the marriage covenant, and people don't care about marriage. They just come together and say, well, you my baby and you my this, and there is no respect for marriage. In Hollywood, they marry 5 and 6 times, get rid of this, and then they don't marry, they stay together. And this is for to teach our kids that this is okay. This is acceptable to God. This is the work of Leviathan, the strong man of Leviathan. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. I agree. I think that it's a good thing that you are bringing this out more. This is the type of word that is left out in many of the Sunday schools and things. That, you know, it's time for the body of Christ together to grow. And it's time for the body of Christ together to get off of just the milk. We've been, you know, sipping on the nip bottle of milk for way longer than expected, because God expected us to grow. And these are things that people in the body of Christ need to know about. It's a different type of, especially a different type of spirits, demons that they have to deal with. Because, you know, brother, you know, you get put on shutdown, you start talking about this kind of subject.
Yes, and so I don't really fret about that anymore. I have a responsibility. I have a charge to fulfill to God, not to, you know, mostly. That's why I don't allow, when you receive a charge and a commission from God, from heaven, and you are called, and you're responsible to fulfill that commission. Now, I can't put what other people think first. I can speak some and say people can help you and correct you and give you some more, you know, thing about your ministry, but you can't let nobody stop you from fulfilling the call or the charge of God on your life, not even your own church denomination. You can't allow that, them, because, see, the charge comes from him and the calling comes from him, and you're responsible to fulfill that, no matter what people say. So I'm not into that no more. What people, they can shut down, they just have to shut down. But I know there's a people that is going to be thankful that you open their eyes to what they are dealing with and what the battle background of why that God is calling for an army of warriors in Christ, and not just church people who just want to be religious minded, but he's looking for real warriors now. Notice that he said the weapons of our warfare. And we keep in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare. Paul talks about spiritual warfare. He said the weapons of our warfare. Well, who's going to teach people? Who's going to train them what they are facing in this earth, the kingdom of darkness, and teach the church and prepare the church, the living God, to prepare how to war and win the battle, about the spiritual battles that we are fighting now? And it's not natural battles. You can't do natural things to overcome the kingdom of darkness. Won't work, because they're in the spiritual realm. So Paul explains in his day, he understood that and reveals that the weapons of our warfare are mighty to God. Now, to pulling down every stronghold of the devil and everything exalted itself in the knowledge of God. Now, some people don't want to hear the truth about angels and the spiritual realm and about the Holy Ghost and about the powers of Satan and darkness that we're dealing with and we'll be aware of. They just stay in the dark. All I can say, brother, I love them, but they just stay in the dark. Stay ignorant. The Bible says, I would not have you ignorant, brothers. Paul, it warned the people in his day in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, brother, I would not have you ignorant of the devices of Satan. If you want to remain ignorant, that's a choice. But the Lord comes to enlighten, to illuminate it, and to prepare us for battle, to win the battle against this enemy called Satan and the army of the powers called principalities and powers that he has engaging to destroy every soul, every nation, especially every Christian nation. So our job, whatever call or challenge that we are given, this is my part of my calling. Everybody have different callings in ministry. In ministry, Ephesians talks about that in the fourth chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, about the different gifts and callings that men are called. This is my calling. Now, I used to bother me, a brother, that people, get all upset and turn your name. I said, well, I can't fret about that. They did it to Jesus, the prophets. They did it to the apostles. They do it to anyone that stands strong into their gift and gift in their calling. And so you have to prepare yourself to be rebuffed, to be rejected, to be talked about. So it don't bother me anymore. It really don't. Because I'm on a commission and a journey for the Lord to please him. And if I turn my eyes on what men and people want to say, I'll never be able to please the Lord. Now, I can accept correction. Sure, I can. I can take correction and chastening about some things that are done in a godly way, in a godly manner, and from a godly person, a mature, wise, and godly person. But I'm not going to let a person that don't even know the things of God. And so now we're talking about this prince that's warring against America, its institution, its churches, and against its family structure. And so he is doing a job on the marriage. He doesn't want anyone to respect marriage covenant anymore. Our young people are coming up with a view, looking at the show, looking at Hollywood, and all that mess, and trying to mask itself at it as being the prime rector of life. We are being deceived by many things, and the church world is in deception. That's why you catch people, when you talk about the workings of the kingdom of darkness, they draw it up all, you go ahead and remain ignorant.
Yeah.
You're going to remain ignorant. I'm not going to get into it if that's what you choose to do. So, Paul in Ephesians, and he's talking about the principality of power in hell, and he talks about the princes in darkness. The weapons of warfare are not carnal. And he talks about the different status of devils and demons and princes. If you don't think it's serious, when Daniel was fasting and praying, and you read it in the 9th chapter to the 10th, 11th, and 12th, that when Daniel was praying and fasting and interceding for Israel, his prayers, and it states it's something that we need to pay attention to. As Daniel was praying and fasting for, I think, 21 days, to interceding for Israel in behalf of the nation of Israel to be delivered, it made us understood that the Lord sent Gabriel, who is a prince in God's army, a prince angel, one of the highest that's found in the presence of the Most High God, Gabriel. And Gabriel was on his way to bring a message to Daniel. But he was held up in the heavens. Listen to what he says. Gabriel was held up and was fighting with the prince of Persia, which was demonic powers in the heaven, to stop him from delivering this message to Daniel. And he explains to the Gabriel was held up for 21 days. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Until who is that he sent? He sent the top angel, the top warring angel, Michael. And Michael is the top warring angel over the warring angels. He's top, number one. And you see he's an angel, his name mentioned in the Bible, basically to Gabriel and Michael. There are six or five other angels. It doesn't mention their name, but they mentioned these two, Gabriel and Michael. Gabriel is mostly the one that brings messages, the top angel bringing messages from God. Michael is the warring angel, the top warring chief angel. He's the one that his army cast out Satan and fight and win. So during this praying and fasting of Daniel the prophet, 21 days, the message was held up. Gabriel said, I was held up fighting Where was he fighting at? In the heavens, against who's he referred to the prince of Persia, but actually he's talking about the prince of darkness over Persia, which is a demonic prince that was hindering him, blocking temporary him, until Michael, the warring angel, came and contended with him, and then the message was able to come through. So let you know that there is powers of darkness. And see, the church world in many areas want to stay ignorant and play funny games. We don't believe in that. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant of the devices of Satan and the planning and working of Satan. Jesus said in the 12th chapter about strong man, Jesus had to deal with these princes of darkness. He was on the earth because Satan was constantly contending to block, to hinder, to stop him. So let's pull the glasses off and quit playing games. Let's quit playing religious games. Let's see what's going on in the earth and why it's going on. Leviathan, the strong man, he is the king over pride. He's the king over sex and perversion and immorality and confusion about these issues. Hallelujah. He's also the king of witchcraft and sorcery and part and false religion. Anywhere you see these things happening, Leviathan is over it with all his sub-princes and sub-powers of darkness working. Hallelujah. Just telling you, open your eyes, saints, so we can take our stand. Now, you read this verse again, brother. That's one verse. And I know it was no accident as we got through with prayer that we happened this verse as the end of, as I was, me and Brother Robert were praying and opened this the Bible verse and it fell on this. I wasn't even thinking about it, really. Hallelujah. And this Isaiah was given to and then it told me about the rebirthing of a nation, rebirthing of the church, rebirthing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And how the great role of the intercessors, God's special intercessors, is important role in rebirthing and delivering a nation. We can, as we preach and teach, it's the intercessor that's going to do the rebirthing. The Holy Ghost, Christ's chosen intercessors around the world, they are the one that the rebirth. It's like the baby, when women have birth, they have a, what they call, the woman that comes and help them to bring the child forth. What do they call them in the South?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, man, that name is on the tip of my tongue. Midwife.
Yes. The midwife. The Holy Ghost acting, and with the intercessors, acting as a midwife to rebirth and birth. And they are the remnant of faithful ones. Now, okay, let's read this scripture here as we go our way about this particular enemy that Satan is using, and especially against Christian nation and America in particular. Hallelujah. You notice, brother, that the witchcraft and sorcery is on the rise in America. Satanism.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe.
Amen.
Oh, no, that's Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brother. Go ahead with the blessed word.
We're just having a chat, sister. Conversation.
It's a good chat, brother. God bless. It's a good chat. It keeps us from remaining ignorant. It's a good chat.
Well, some people love to put on the glasses and stay in the dark, sister. They don't want to know. They think they want to ignore Satan. You know, they figure like if they ignore this, that it'll go away. That Satan would just, who do you think that wants you to remain ignorant? Satan.
Amen.
who do you think he wants you to stay blind and ignorant? And he's done a job on the Christian nation, but the Lord has an answer for him. The Lord Jesus has an answer for him, a solution for him. He got a shock and surprise coming. I mean, he got a shocker. He got a shocker coming. He going to shock this devil. He going to show him up and spoiled him. He got a group of people that he's raising up, brother.
Yes.
I said, the Lord has a secret army that he's raising up. Hallelujah. Wow.
Yes. Amen.
And they are made of men and women of all classes and nations. Yeah, the women are in there too. I know some people don't believe the women is going to be, oh my God, it's so much we need to be enlightened about. We have the angel Elijah coming to us with more light and more understanding, but do we really grasp it? The angel brought a message, an 88 message, and he spoke about Satan will do all that he can, but we don't quite understand how and what methods and different things that he's going to use to do this. We just say, oh, yeah, the angel said, that's it. We scared to deal with it. But I ain't scared. Are you scared, Nate, to deal with all the truth? When he said teach the whole truth, the messenger angel Lord told us to teach the full truth. Do you know that we really don't want the full truth?
That's true.
We want our favorite truth. We want our nice favorite truth. You know, all of us, most people want their nice, safe, favorite truth, not the hard, meaty, unpleasant type truth. Okay,
amen.
Then. It's okay. Castor oil will do you good. All you that hear me, castor oil will do you good.
Yes.
It'll get the job done. Now, Leviathan is one of the princes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
When I was going through a troublesome, difficult time in the early stages of my life in Christ, and when I for three whole days I fought a battle in the spiritual realm, which I bring up over and over again, and I fought in the spirit and faith, and I used the authority in God's word and the spirit of grace to deal with this attack. And for 3 days and three nights, and then finally, an angel stood by my bed. After I prevailed and warred against the enemy.
Yeah.
For the weapons of our warfare are mighty. Put on the whole armor of God. Why are you going to put on the whole armor of God for if you're not going to, what would you need to put on an armor? Ephesians 6 and what are you going to put on the armor of God? Oh, that just said, if you want to remain ignorant, you can remain ignorant, and the enemy loves it.
Amen.
He can do more to those people who fail to be enlightened, and he can do much secretly because they don't believe in these things that are happening on the earth. Two kingdoms at a clash. Two kingdoms.
Yeah.
Listen. We have been ordained to win this battle through Christ, who took dominion and power through his death and resurrection. We have been ordained and decreed to win the battle if we are hearkening unto the Lord. The Lord has an army that he's raising up of men and women of all nations and class in this army, brother. Leviathan. Read that verse again in Isaiah 27 and 1 as we go off. Isaiah 27 and verse 1.
Okay. The word of God said, in that day the Lord with his sword and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan the piercing serpent, even Leviathan that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea.
Boy, he going to raise up a mighty army that going to slay and pull down strongholds and give Leviathan, cast them down off of nations, off of cities, off of communities, off of homes. He's raising up a mighty Holy Ghost, anointed, committed, that's sanctified, purified people, men and women that's going to, is the time that, and now is the hour, and now the generation that Isaiah is talking about, he is going to destroy Leviathan. Who you think he's talking, he's going to use? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The angel messenger in message 88 said, therefore come against him. Break his yoke.
Yes.
What you mean? You mean I have authority and dominion in Christ as sons of God? Therefore, come against him. Brother Nate, what is he saying? So the messenger, the angel of the Lord said, therefore, come against him. Well, I don't believe in all of that. You know, I'm wondering. I don't do that. I don't want to get on my knees and beg God and just beg him and beg him, and that's all I need to do. I'll petition him sometime, but I ain't going to war. I'm not going to war and come again. I'm not going to obey that command, Brother Nate. We're just not going to obey that.
Amen.
We're just going to read that and say, when is the next message come? When the next messenger angel going to bring a message? We're not going to obey that. We're not going to submit to that. We're not going to be led to it. But come against him, break his yoke. No, we don't believe in breaking no yokes. We don't believe that. We don't believe in that. Then he said in one of the messages, he said, be not tied down by the chains of the devil. We don't believe in no chains of no devil. He said, be not tied by the chains of the devil. We don't believe in that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm-mm.
Well, all right. Brother Nate, to everyone that's listening, would you release that first verse? Sister Allison, you want to do it? You're welcome to. You're part of this army, so I don't have no prejudice against the sons and daughters of God. I don't have no preconceived notion that a son and a daughter of God can't release what they have authority to do. I don't have no such notion. I don't have them believing it. You don't have to be ordained to no office. You're a son.
Amen.
You're a redeemed child of God. You don't have to be redeemed to a priesthood office. And that's another area where we haven't taught people about the difference.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Leviathan is working in all five areas of the four areas he's working. And he said in that verse, to destroy him. This is the day we're going to destroy his works and his power. Okay? So, Brother Nate, you want to read something right quick, and then let's just Anderson. Quick something before we go off, for the people in the earth that want to, as we stand against this prince that's working over your nation, over your church, over your community, over your home, over your life, your marriage, and that's working out of Hollywood and Hollywood and out of the government and liberal Democrats who also are part of this socialism, Nazism, Nazism, racism, all this stuff is a violent stirring up.
Yes, Lord.
Sorcery, witchcraft is on the rise. Satan is on the rise. Psychics, all of this is on the rise. This is in the courts of Leviathan under him. Okay.
Yes.
We release right
Father,
now the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We release right now the word of the Lord. The Lord said he will punish Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and the dragon that is in the sea. We release it right now in the name of Jesus, the word of the Lord.
Yes,
the word
Lord.
Of the Lord has had all power.
Yes.
The word of the Lord from the mouth of the omnipotent one, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We release it right now over this country right now, over this nation, and other nations right now, over this world, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We release the word of the Lord this day. In
Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. And as we come, Lord, even as Isaiah came before you, Lord Jesus, and cried out and encouraged others. And right now, I come, Lurleen Anderson, I come, and I want the women to know out there that coming forth and opening your mouth and let the Lord word it, that it will set you free. The weapons of our warfare. This is the weapons of warfare, women, for us to be filled with the Spirit of God, and that we shall find spiritual gifts that would operate in our lives. We come forth, and we give it up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall know that we are not just sons and daughters, and Jesus Christ is not just the Savior, but he's our master. If we just open up and believe and give ourselves over to him and let him rule and guide and operate in our lives. And I just thank and I praise the Lord, how the Lord is just letting me know, open your mouth and he will word it. Women, men, children, come forth. And as the brothers were speaking that the Lord is raising up an army, he's starting with the young coming forth and giving their lives unto the Lord as never before. It hasn't happened. As many young people are coming forth now and giving their selves over to the Lord. And I just thank and I praise the Lord. And I would say, women, wherever you are, stand up. Stand up. It is your right in Christ Jesus to stand up for your right in the Lord Christ Jesus and not be depressed and not be taken down and not let your tongue be tied, but be loose. But be loose, because the Lord is looking for intercessory prayer. He's looking for people for intercessory prayer. And we as women have the same rights of men. God will loose you. Open your mouth and God will loose you. As long as we stand back and stay in the dark and hid in the corners, we will be hindered. Let the Lord Jesus Christ loose you, women. And I thank and I praise God for the ones that will be loosed.
Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you. As we leave this air, we give you glory. The Church of Christ, Elijah Message, greet you. The living Christ greet you. Everyone that wants Christ, and I say, Lord, save me a sinner. Come into my life, Lord. Transform me. Deliver me. I trust in the blood and the death of Christ. Be a life giver to me. Fill me now with life in Jesus' name. And now, be baptized by the authority of people that have the authority in Christ to bring you in, baptize you in Jesus' name, and bring you forth. God bless you all. We
God bless you
love
all.
You with the love of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't forget, tomorrow night we have another God's Word to Man broadcast. Look for the advertising tomorrow night at 7 o'clock p.m. So as for Brother Lee and Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, we love you all. May God bless you. May God keep
Amen.
You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you.